Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
It's a great honor to be here this morning, and what a thrill for this Sunday. I promise you, all of heaven is watching and is looking to see what God's people are going to do, because when God's people step out and do things that are of honor to God, it thrills all the way to heaven. And boy, I love this day. I love the spirit in this church. 25 years, it's gone by so quick. I'm at the age now where I'm just amazed how quick time goes by. Now, how many of you are a little bit amazed how far we're already into 2011? How many of you are still like me wondering where 2010 went, right? I mean, it just like whoosh, came and gone. What a magnificent thing is being proposed here, where we get this privilege to be God's people, to live and act like God's people, and to do God's work. If you have your Bibles, if you turn, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. D.L. Moody was one of the greatest evangelists for the gospel that the world ever saw. His ministry swept America and then Europe. And D.L. Moody was a very simple man. Many people said his speech was so slurred that sometimes it was hard to understand. One man said he's the only man who could make a single syllable word out of Mesopotamia because he just slurred it, kind of southern style a little bit. But when they would go to Moody and they would say, Mr. Moody, in your life and in the life of the people who serve with you, what's made the great difference? And D.L. Moody always gave the same answer. He said, we've decided we're going to be what God's commanded us to be, and that is ambassadors for Christ. Now, every child of God here, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But the fact that you are one and that God has appointed you to be one doesn't mean that we're acting like one. The Bible gives all types of commands as to what we're to be, and this is a very precious one, because an ambassador has a very special, privileged job. Now, when our government appoints ambassadors, those are very high positions with incredible privilege. Well, you have not been appointed by an earthly ruler. We have been appointed by the Creator of the universe, and we're supposed to be ambassadors. And Moody said the key to what God's doing is that we've decided not just to act like it, we've decided to be it. Let's read what the passage says together. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, start reading with me at verse 15. Speaking of Christ and his constraining love, and that he, Jesus, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. Boy, the scripture re-echoes this theme that we're supposed to live not belonging to ourselves. And rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are, say out loud in unison the next word, ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. An ambassador was someone appointed to deliver a message. They were appointed to go and to deliver the message. And in the day this was written, the people would have understood that Rome was the worldwide power, and Rome had two kinds of provinces. They had what were called the imperial provinces, and these were the provinces that they occupied, but the people were still in rebellion against Rome. And then they had the senatorial provinces. These were the occupied territories where there was no war, where they were submitting to Rome. The ambassadors were only sent to the imperial provinces. They were always sent to the provinces where they didn't want to hear the message. And God says, you and I are appointed to be ambassadors for Christ, to take a message to people who very often do not wish to hear that message, who find that message offensive, who find that message to be counter to everything they want to think or do. But God said, I don't want you to negotiate the message. I just want you to be faithful in delivering the message. I want to ask you a real simple question. How would you rate yourself as an ambassador for Christ? We're commanded to be it. How would you rate yourself? 0 being not good, and 10 being, oh, Brother Gibbs, spot on. I am an ambassador for Christ. Well, I want you to write 4 things down this morning as we get ready to check ourselves. This morning, I'm going to check me, because if my life is going to count for Christ the way I desire it to be, then I need to be the one who, by God's grace, is an ambassador for Christ. It's an amazing thing. Moody requested that at his funeral, that if he had been found faithful, and he was, that every message be heralding the ambassador for Christ. Because he was so convinced that that was the key. He said, this world, absent the message of reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ, has nothing. And he said, our job is we have the privilege of delivering the message in hostile territory. Let's write the 4 keys down. Here's 1. An ambassador is by command of God to be a person who stays in contact with headquarters. You know what I'm afraid? In history, there's been some governments who appointed people who went rogue. They went out there and they never stayed in contact with headquarters. Boy, I've seen that in industry. I've seen that on church staffs. People who are appointed with authority, and all of a sudden they don't want to stay in contact. We've had tragedies in military where groups went out and didn't stay in contact. You know what God says? I want you to be very careful to stay in contact with me. In fact, so careful, I'm commanding it. Now, how does somebody do that? Real simple. 1, through the Word. Do you know why we're here? Because we want to stay in contact with the Word. The purpose of this service is not to get my words out, not to get pastor's words out. The purpose of any legitimate church service is to get God's Word out. If you forget everything I've ever said, you haven't forgotten anything. But did you get what God said? Did you get in contact with headquarters? Now, my wife has a cute way when we pray going into church. She'll say, boy, let's make sure we don't leave without God talking to us. You know what? If you go to church expecting nothing, you'll get it every time. But the Bible says if you come seeking, knocking, man, God will give it to you. When's the last time you heard from God? That God spoke to your heart? Your pastor's preaching has done such marvelous things in my life when I've had the privilege to hear it, because God spoke to my heart. It wasn't his words. It was him telling us what God's word says. And boy, what's so incredibly important is we're not here to do our thing. We're here to do heaven's thing. And God says, I want you to stay in contact. The second way you do it is through prayer. Oh, through prayer. Now, I hope this is not you, but statistically they tell us that the average fundamental Bible-believing Christian spends less than 8 minutes a day in prayer. And that covers meal prayers. 8 minutes. Other groups are under 4 minutes. The nation has become prayerless. Now, when we get terrified, when we get scared, when we have an emergency, then we pray. But God says, I want you to talk to me about everything. I want you to be the person who stays in contact with me. We almost kind of have this notion, I'll let you know if I need you. And then we just sort of go on our way. And God says, you don't realize you need me all the time. Boy, the great hymn writer, I need thee every hour. Oh, bless God, how I need thee. The way you stay in contact is through the word, and the way you stay in contact is through prayer. Now, we live busy lives. And most of you are like me. I live my life by lists. How many of you have ever done a to-do list? Hold your hand up, would you? How many of you, like me, have done one and didn't get one thing done on the list? Oh, yeah. If you only hear one thing today, please hear this. The devil is masterful at diverting, at getting you busy, not with bad things, but so busy you don't get in the word and you don't pray. There is no way to be the ambassador God's called you to be if you're not going to pray and if you're not going to be in the Word. Write this down. Whatever matters to you gets time. Whatever matters to you gets time. If I were to offer you $1,000 for every 10 minutes of prayer, you'd be amazed how you'd feel led to pray. And you'd say, I got plenty of time. Boy, let me get this going. And you know what? It's because you value the money. Do we value the contact with the throne room of heaven? Are we the people of prayer? Boy, the Lord has convicted me on this. I have a prayer list. I attempt to very diligently do it. But I keep getting my prayer time squeezed. And I keep speeding it up because, and the stuff when I look at it that I let squeeze it isn't not near as important as staying in contact with God. The key to the Christian life is contact with the Lord. And prayer and the Word is the key to getting that done. And no one can be the ambassador God's called them to be who doesn't stay connected, in contact. One of the things that I love about your pastor is he has so faithfully exhorted and taught from the Word of God how we're to connect our lives to the Word of God, how we're to connect through prayer. Please understand, you're no better Christian than your prayer life. And you're no better Christian than how you take time for the Word of God. Whatever you value will get your time. The first key of an ambassador is they stay in contact. Write the second key down. Boy, I love this one. They deliver the message. They deliver the message. Now, they do this three ways. Number one, they proclaim it. We got a message. That's why we're ambassadors. And the message is reconciliation. God wants to make things right between you and him. That's reconciliation. God wants your sins to be forgiven. Jesus paid for them. Will you accept the payment that he made? Are you a good deliverer of the message? You say, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm not real eloquent. Words don't exactly come out real easy for me. Well, then hand somebody a gospel tract. You can still be a great deliverer of the message. I was at a church in York, Pennsylvania. Pastor, you know this church. And a lady came up to me and she said, can I talk to you a second? I said, and she had a mob of people with her. And I said, well, sure. She said, I know you're always encouraging people to hand out tracts, just to take a moment and give somebody something. I said, yeah, that's true. She said, well, I was a 60s wild child. And she said, if it was wrong, if it was sinful, I loved it. She said, drugs, alcohol, unbelievably loose lifestyle. She said, I was into every bit of it. And she said, some notion about going to church, she said, never, ever even entered my mind. She said, one day I stopped to buy some alcohol at a 7-Eleven. And she said, the only thing I loved more than alcohol and drugs was my hot Mustang convertible. She said, I had a Mustang convertible, she said, that could spin rubber in all four gears. And she said, it was my treat. She said, the top was down. I went in to buy the alcohol. When I came out, she said, I don't know who. Somebody put a gospel track on the seat of my car. She said, I went ballistic. Who would do that to my car? And she said, I picked it up and wrinkled it all up. And she said, I can't explain this. I didn't throw it away because I didn't believe in littering. She said, I had no trouble breaking every other law, but I didn't believe in littering. And I said, well, good for you. But she said, I put it down, going to throw it away. She said, I went home still mad, walked in the house, told my mother, some nut, some kook put this on me. And she said, well, what does it say? She said, so I unraveled it, and I read it. And she said, for the first time, I understood God loved me so much he sent his only son to die for me and pay for my sins. She said, I read that tract, I think, 30 times. But she said, later that night, I got on my knees and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And she's sitting there holding the tract, all wrinkled up. I said, that's wonderful. She said, yeah, but I went and gave it to my brother because he was a bigger dopehead than me. And he got saved off of it. And he said, Brother Gibbs, here are 30-some members of my family who all got saved off of this tract because somebody put it on the seat of my Mustang convertible. She said, now, I won't know who it was till we get to heaven. But she said, somebody was faithful to deliver the message. Could that be you? Could that be me? There is no such thing as a good ambassador who doesn't deliver the message. We want to send missionaries around the world, and we surely should. But are you crossing your yard and delivering it to your neighbors? Are you delivering it to your neighborhood? Are you delivering it to your workplace? We are ambassadors. We're the people here with a message. Yeah, but I'm not a preacher. No, that's a totally different thing. Not every Christian's called to be a preacher, but every Christian is called by God to be an ambassador. And that ambassador faithfully delivers the message. I was on an airplane, young man sitting next to me. And I said, where are you going? We're flying from Chicago to Houston. He said, I'm going to Houston, and then I'm going home down into South America. He said, my wife's having her first baby. I said, boy, that's wonderful. He said, I hope I get there in time. She's in labor now. I said, boy, you better get there in time because she won't forget that if you don't. My prayer is you make it, partner. I said, you know what? I want to give you this. I said, be wonderful if your new baby had a Christian dad. That kid exploded. I mean, he said so loud, I jumped. He said, no way. And I mean, a flight attendant came and said, is this man bothering you? And she's pointing at me. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. He said, oh, no, he's not bothering me. I said, why in the world don't you yell like that? He said, somebody out in the waiting area walked by and handed me a tract. And he said, I sat out there and read it for an hour and a half. And he said, I told the Lord, if you just send somebody who would take me through that track and pray with me, I'll get saved. I said, no way. Wow. Wow. You know what? Come to find out, it was a missionary for Home Bible Time that had walked through that waiting area handing out gospel tracts. Somebody was faithful to deliver the message. Oh, listen. This world is dying, and it's coming unraveled. And the only thing that can make a difference is Jesus Christ. And we have the message. But it's not just that we proclaim the message, we defend the message. And boy, you need to be thankful you're in a church that has faithfully, faithfully defended the message. We're living in a day when people want to water down the message. The message is real clear. The Bible says we're sinners. How many of you ever done a sin? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah, if you didn't raise your hand, you can now. Because the Bible says we're all sinners. Every single one of us. How many of you are thrilled like me? Everybody doesn't know about every sin you've ever done, right? Sure. But all of a sudden they want to say, no, no, no. Don't call people sinners. They want to change the message. No, no. God says, I want you to deliver it, and I don't want you to change it. We had a young lawyer in our ministry once, and I said, I want you to call this pastor and tell him 1, 2, 3. And I saw him 2 days later. I said, did you call that preacher? He said, oh, I did. I said, did you tell him 1, 2, 3? No, I said, I told him 1, 2. I said, the message was 1, 2, 3. Why'd you change it? He said, well, I said, no, 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 no. I said, if I wanted you to say 1, 2, I'd have said 1, 2. But it was very important that we did 1, 2, 3. And I said, don't ever, ever, ever change my message like that again. You know what God says? I want you to declare it, and don't you sit there and get imaginative and change it. The good news is the good news. But he not only wants us to proclaim it and defend it, write this down because it's what this day is about. He wants us to enable it. Now you say, what do you mean enable it? We're commanded by God's grace to take our resources of time, to take our resources of substance, and enable getting the message out. That's the job of an ambassador. We declare it, we defend it, and we enable it. When you get to heaven and we see the reward for what all of the giving has accomplished in this world, it's to get the message out. The great thing about this ministry is not the buildings, and the buildings are beautiful, but it's not the buildings. It's what goes on in the buildings. That's the great thing about this. The message was honored day one when they didn't have the buildings, and the message has been faithfully honored, and God's people have come together and enabled to get the message out. One of the things that I love about being able to give to this ministry is I know it's going to get the message out. I know it because you see it. They're faithful to it. And that's what God says. I want my ambassadors to declare it. I want them to defend it. And I want them to enable it. Does it thrill you to be able to help give so we can get the message out? You understand, we're not giving to the entity. We're giving to the Lord. And the resources are for the Lord's message. We have to be real careful. We're living in a day where in some ministries, the man giving the message is all of a sudden exalted higher than the message. God never wanted that. What I love is your pastor says, no, we're servants. And as servants, our job is to serve and lead and get the message out. God says, what I want you to do is declare it, I want you to defend it, and I want you to enable it. Oh, listen, the devil wants with a passion to silence you so you don't declare it. I'll not ask you here, but I wonder if your neighbors on all four sides have gotten the message. We're to declare it. I wonder if you've gone down your street. And my son Jonathan went down our street, and I joined him in a great part of it. And the only thing I could keep thinking is, why did it take his prompting for me to do this? Why didn't Dad do the prompting? It should have been me. Now, maybe you've been A-plus at that, and if you have, God bless you. But I want to tell you right now, we've got a whole world that needs to hear. And we need to declare it, and we need to defend it. Don't change a bit of it. And what a privilege to give so we can enable it. Write the third thing down. We're almost done. Number one, boy, you got to stay in contact. Number two, you got to deliver the message. Number three, you got to follow some simple orders. Now, we read these orders. Your life, if you know Christ, is not about you. It's about him. It's not my cause. It's his cause. Now, all of a sudden, we got a lot of people who want to say, well, my life is really about me, and I'd like God to help. And I'll help God some with his cause, too. But I really want God to help me with my cause. No. At the end of the trail, it's only what done for Christ that matters. And has your life last week been about his cause? Traveling out here on the airplanes, I get to spend a fair amount of time on airplanes. And if you travel very much, airplanes have become buses with wings. It's a totally different experience than it was 20 or 30 years ago. The people are unusual. The kids are out of control. The flight attendants are aggravated that you're there. And all of a sudden, you're in the midst of all of this commotion. And it's real easy to just say, I'm going to tune out. I'm going to just do my thing. And I'm going to just tune all this out. And God says, no. You're there as my ambassador. And I don't want you to get off this plane without having delivered the message. Because I'm not on this plane for my cause. I'm on this plane for his cause. Be careful that most of your life isn't about your cause. An ambassador lives for his cause. We're going to stay in contact. We're going to deliver the message. We're going to follow orders. And write number four down. An ambassador's job is not to disgrace the Lord. To live like we have no orders, that's a disgrace. To behave like an embarrassment to the message, what a tragedy. I was doing a lawsuit in rural Ohio, and it was in country where there were a lot of Amish and Mennonite. And I was talking to a police officer there, and I said, you have a lot of Amish and Mennonite around here. He said, oh, yeah, we do. I said, do you ever have contact with them? Oh, he said, yeah, all the time. I said, what can you tell me about them? He said, amazing how every day, not Sunday, every day, they're dedicated to being Amish and Mennonite. Every day. And he said, it doesn't matter if they're in the field plowing or if they're milking cows or if they're building furniture or if they're running a restaurant. He said, the most amazing thing about them is he says, they never, ever abandoned being that. And then he looked at me and he said, it's not like the rest of us Christians who we kind of put it on and take it off. He said, you know, when you go to church on Sunday, you put it on. But he said, then Monday, you kind of take it off. No, no, no. What a great statement. God says, I want you not to be an embarrassment to the high privilege I've called you to declare that message, to enable that message, to defend that message. And don't be an embarrassment. The greatest embarrassment to an ambassadorship is the person who acts like they're not, who acts like a tourist instead of an ambassador. I'm just here to enjoy myself. No, we're here to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I beg you, this morning, if there was ever a time that I need to be a better deliverer of the message, it's now. And God wants the same from you. Would you enable it as never before by God's grace? Would you defend it as never before? And would you, with a passion, deliver it as never before? I was in North Carolina. And a preacher, you know this businessman, he runs a pawn shop. And pawn shops are unusual places. You walk in and it's amazing what's there. But the people who go to pawn shops are kind of unusual too. And here I am in a pawn shop. And this man's pawn shop has been unbelievably blessed of the Lord. And what amazed me, there is not one person who walks in the door who doesn't leave with a gospel tract and a personal witness from the people in that pawn shop. A lady came walking in and she said, I need some money and I have some jewelry here. And the man said, great, let's take a look at it. But before we talk about your jewelry, let's talk about where you're going to spend forever. And the lady said, what now? She said, well, I just come to pawn some jewelry. He said, no, that's not why you're here. He said, you see, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And what you're really here for is for me to have a chat with you, and then we'll take care of your business. Well, I sat there and I thought, when's the last time somebody came in here who didn't get witnessed to? And he had a salesman there and he said, I don't know, I've been here 15 years. I've never seen one. Every single person. What a great ambassador for Jesus Christ. He had an old car out front he was trying to sell. A guy came up and said, how much you want for the car? He said, before I tell you how much for the car, let me tell you why you're really here. And the guy said, what now? You know what? That should be every one of us. Because we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.